When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
It is a new day. It is a Tuesday, live right here on Football Full Circle. Plenty of news around the National Football League as training camp rolls on, entering week number two of the NFL preseason in just about 2 days. And we will continue some ranking reactions to the preseason AP Top 25 ahead of the 2024 college football season. What does the AP poll mean for the entirety of the season in college football? He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. We are live together up until 1 p.m. Eastern time here on FFC. Training camp, Scott, rolls on. Preseason week two on the horizon after a full week number one. Our first time discussing what happened in the opening weekend of the preseason around the NFL and the big news during training camp this week as well.
Yep, you got some injury news. J.J. McCarthy being held out of practice last night from Minnesota with a little knee injury. You got the league neighbor situation with the Giants. All these little goofy little injuries. You wonder how serious they are, Ben. You know, during a regular season, okay, you have a general idea because you have that, you know, injury list. They got to tell you whether it's probable, doubtful, whatever the case may be. But preseason, you know, what does that mean? You know, if I'm a Vikings fan, you're so encouraged about what J.J. McCarthy did this weekend, and now you find out he's battling a knee injury. So does that mean he's not going to play? How serious is the injury? Didn't look like he got hurt in the game, but apparently he obviously did. So little quirky things like that. And we still got the battle between CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Ayuk. And you can almost throw Ja'Marr Chase, although he's not holding out, but it doesn't appear like he's getting a new contract. But we still got to follow the Ayuk San Francisco situation and the CeeDee Lamb Dallas Cowboys situation.
They have reopened contract negotiations, reportedly, that being the San Francisco front office and Brandon Ayuk. Jerry Jones apologized for not saying signing CeeDee Lamb to that big new deal. Had no urgency on Sunday ahead of the Cowboys preseason opener, saying that he misses CeeDee Lamb. Will it bring them to the negotiating table? That remains to be seen. But Scott, in New York, the Jets and Hassan Reddick do not seem to be anywhere close to one another. This news coming down the wire late yesterday afternoon that Hassan Reddick, who was traded for by the Jets from Philadelphia earlier this offseason in early April because the Eagles would not give him a new contract extension, and Reddick wanted a big new deal as one of the most successful edge rushers in the National Football League over the past 3 to 4 years, was dealt to New York. They gave up a conditional draft pick in return to Philadelphia for Reddick. But of course, he has been unhappy with the Jets front office. He has not agreed to a new contract with them. He held out from training camp. He was absent from mandatory minicamp as well. And officially yesterday afternoon, Scott, Hassan Reddick issuing a formal trade request that led to GM Joe Douglas in New York from the Jets team Twitter account, putting out a quote graphic saying, quote, we have informed Hassan that we will not trade him, that he's expected to be here with his teammates, and that he will continue to be fined per the CBA if he does not report. Since the trade discussions back in March, we have been clear, direct, and consistent with our position. Our focus will remain on the guys we have here as we prepare for the regular season. Scott, the bad blood airing out in public between these two sides, so much so the Jets publicized this on their team's social media accounts to say that, Hassan, we're not trading you.
Yeah, it's a rare case, Ben, where it's a three-headed coin. Normally, it's a two-sided coin, right? Heads or tails? But now it's heads, tails, and sides. We'll take the head side of it. Hassan Reddick. Listen, he wants a new contract. Unlike with Brandon Ayuk and CeeDee Lamb and Ja'Marr Chase, those guys are barely into their prime, right? They got a lot of years left. He's entering 30. You know, he's at that point where, okay, I need to get it now, because if you're 30, heading on 31, you know, people are going to look at you like, okay, you're past your prime, and you're not going to be able to get a 3 or 4 year deal when you're 31 years old. So he's got a reason really to do it now. So you take his side of it. Then you take the Jets side and say, listen, you know, you're under contract. You know, you got a 1 year deal. So either show up or get fined, you know, $50,000 a day. And apparently he's amassed over $1 million in fines. So, you know, you're taking one step forward to go two steps back. And then there's the third side that to me, and this is where I reside, in if you're the bungling, dumbling Jets, what are you doing? You know, you didn't give up a conditional seventh or sixth round pick. Yeah. You gave up a third round pick for the guy. You knew the guy was disgruntled. And even if you bought into the rhetoric, Ben, of that he said he was going to show up if you traded for me, like supposedly he said, why give up a third round pick for a guy you really don't like? You know, you can give up a sixth or seventh, like I said, for a guy maybe you want to take a flyer on. But if you give up a third round pick for the guy, you must like the guy, right? So if you really like the guy, why wouldn't you want to give him a new contract? I don't, you know, what am I missing there from the Jets standpoint?
That's what I completely agree with, Scott. I think I fall in that third avenue of this three-sided coin as well. Because you could agree with Hassan Reddick. You could think his demands in Philadelphia for a new deal were too steep. He was asking for too much money. Hassan Reddick, who has been a two-time Pro Bowler each of the past 2 years in Philly, has recorded at least 11 sacks in all four of the previous NFL season. 16 sacks to help the Birds get to a Super Bowl back in 2022. And win the NFC Championship, led the National Football League with 5 forced fumbles during the 2022 campaign. So he has the pedigree to ask for a raise and to be compensated as such as one of the better edge rushers in the National Football League. But maybe the New York Jets looked at what Hassan Reddick was asking for from Philadelphia and said, I don't know about that. That might be a little bit too steep. Then why make the deal? You knew he was asking for a new deal. Unless you could present him a contract that he was going to take favor with, why ever agree to this trade, to this acquisition? That's what makes no sense. And Scott, we could argue, is Hassan Reddick worth whatever he is asking? Those reported figures haven't really been put out in public. Let's say he's trying to be one of the 5 edge rushers in the National Football League that make $25 million a year, alongside guys like Nick Bosa, guys like Joshua Hines Allen, Brian Burns, who earned their contract extensions earlier this offseason, Myles Garrett, TJ Watt. Maybe you think that's too high for Hassan Reddick. Maybe that's what we think it is. But the Jets have always known his desires. And that's where I don't really place the blame on Hassan Reddick. Sure, maybe he's asking for too much, but that's his prerogative that has been very clear since he was disgruntled with Philadelphia, not giving him a new deal. And the Eagles said, listen, man, we don't have the cap space to pay you. You are not our priority. And they gave him permission to seek a trade, Scott, way back at the end of 2023 in the middle of February, and the Jets were that trading partner. So again, the onus falls on New York in an offseason, Scott, that has been dominated by storylines for this Jets organization of who is not at camp or practice. Aaron Rodgers and Hassan Reddick during mandatory minicamp, and now Hassan Reddick being one of the storylines around the National Football League deep into training camp as well.
Yeah, and that's a price to pay, right? If you told me, again, back to the third round pick, if you told me, okay, we're going to invest a sixth or seventh, maybe even a fifth, if we think he's going to put us over the top and we're a win now team, as the Jets clearly are, right, with Aaron Rodgers, okay, I'll utilize a fifth or sixth, seventh round pick for a guy that we're only going to have for 1 year, but not a third. I mean, at least I would. A third round pick is a pretty good pick to pay for a guy that you're telling the world, okay, we're only going to have him for one season. And you know, I wouldn't agree with it, but at least I would know where the Jets are coming from. If the Jets came out and said that that's the deal. Listen, Hassan, we acquired you because we were going to have you for 1 year and you can leave. You could have your 15, 16 sag, whatever it may be, and go enter free agency next year. But we told you from the get-go, we're only going to have you for one season. But they're not doing that. I don't know what they're doing. They're kind of like doing what Dallas is doing with CeeDee Lamb, but it doesn't make any sense. At least CeeDee Lamb, you know, he's going to be getting what he should be getting. Maybe Reddick, as you pointed out, is asking for a little bit more than what the Jets wanted to pay, but you don't acquire him then. Not for a third-round pick. In my world, you don't anyway.
Yeah, absolutely, Scott. Again, and they have known this. It wasn't like Hassan Reddick said, okay, Eagles, I want to be traded. And they're like, okay, we'll trade you. But they had no idea that the reason Hassan Reddick wanted to be traded was because he understood he was not going to get that new contract he desired from Philadelphia. Hassan Reddick, Scott, played his college football at Temple. That's, of course, in Philly. He is a native of Camden, New Jersey. That is very close to Philadelphia. He was a key contributor for this Eagles team in their successful last 2 years. I'm sure he wanted to stay in the city of brotherly love, but knew the contract was not going to be there. So all of this leads back to the Jets not being able to fulfill his wishes after trading for the guy, knowing his desires. We'll have more on Football Full Circle on the other side of the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. So, Scott, whatever side you fall on in the Hassan Reddick conversation in New York, it's not about on-the-field stuff once again. We haven't really spoken too much football when it comes to the New York Jets this offseason, early into training camp, and now the preseason underway. And this is a team, Scott, that expressed a desire from their quarterback all the way to organizational management, head coach, everybody on the roster, to simply focus on football when 2023 came to a close to start off 2024. A team that is all in on Aaron Rodgers, hoping at bare minimum that Rodgers can lead them to a winning record in a playoff berth for the first time to snap a 13-year postseason drought, by far the longest in the National Football League, the longest of any of the four major men's professional sports leagues in all of North America, including the NBA, MLB, and the NHL. That should be the only focus. And yet, Scott, for whatever reason, this offseason, in the last 2 months, we have focused on those not at training camp or mandatory mini camp for the New York Jets. It is not the recipe that leaves you feeling overly optimistic about betting or believing in gangrene this year.
Yeah, you know, maybe all this stuff will all just go away when they open up the season. And they actually have a halfway deal. Outside of the first game at San Francisco, their next four is all winnable games. You know, the Jets go 4-1 to start the year. No one's talking about Aaron Rodgers' personal life and all his goofiness and his vacations or Hassan Reddick. I'm sure at that point, you know, when push comes to shove, the guy's set to make $14 million this year. That's not chump change. That's not $1 or $2 million. Not that that's chump change either for you and I, right? But you know, he's not going to miss any. No NFL player is missing a paycheck. There's only a few Le'Veon Bells out there. So ultimately, this will all get resolved, and maybe that'll be it. But if they end up starting 1-4 or 2-3 and things don't look good, then we're going to point back to this offseason and say, you know what? This is where it all started. You know, this is where it all began with Aaron Rodgers' mess. And then now they got this expose. Someone wrote a book, Ian O'Connor. I'm sure Rodgers had the okay to write the book. He came out and said, no, I didn't give him permission, please. When you're quoted in the book and doing interviews with the author, that pretty much says you gave the guy permission, right? So between that and the Reddick stuff, you got the head coach. It's probably on the hot seat, maybe the GM as well. And we'll point to this offseason and say that this is where it all began.
Yeah, absolutely so. And again, Scott, this doesn't really impact the odds. Any of this off-the-field noise, even contract situations that deal explicitly with the availability of who should be, at least based on past performance, an important contributor to a really good Jets defense. And that's one of the keys here for New York. Everything on the football field outside of the quarterback spot a year ago was promising. The defense, young, hungry, led by C.J. Mosley, but Quinnen Williams up front, one of the better interior D-linemen in all of the NFL, with the defensive-minded head coach in Robert Saleh, top 10 scoring defense in the National Football League throughout the regular season. Because of the defense, because of the skill position playmakers on offense, Breece Hall back and healthy for the New York Jets. Garrett Wilson, NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year 2 years ago. The list goes on and on. There is so much talent on this Jets team that even a New York team's got that finished with just 7 wins a year ago, still got to 7 wins with the shell of Zach Wilson or Tim Boyle in the quarterback spot. So the thought is, if Aaron Rodgers can just stay healthy for even 14 games and be adequate, this Jets team should snap the 13-year postseason drought in that playoff berth that has so long eluded them. And yet we can't just highlight that fact for the New York Jets. Again, from the odds perspective, 9.5 the win total for New York. The over has the hefty juice. They're a minus 172 favorite. Is gangrene to get to the postseason? The race for the AFC East's top spot, where Buffalo has won the division 4 consecutive years. The Bills are the favorites at plus 165, but the odds continue to grow shorter on the New York Jets at plus 170. All of that to say, Scott, the odds still believe in New York. But if you just read the headlines and you see what's happening here for the Jets, you don't feel overly optimistic the odds are going to be correct.
You really don't. You know, and a lot of that falls on Saleh's head, right? You know, if he was a stern head coach and really had control of his team, you'd say, all right, he's strong enough, man enough, whatever you want to say, to right the ship and keep guys in line. But you don't get that. And that's why we've criticized him, you know, over this offseason and last year as well. You know, blowing that Aaron Rodgers stuff up as big as it did. That falls on his head, a lot of it. If he just would have said, okay, yeah, we gave him permission. You know, we weren't happy the fact that he left this time of the year, but we get it, you know. But he didn't. He kind of left that Pandora's box up to, well, he's got the okay, but we're finding him anyway. And then that ticked off Rodgers to fire back and say, what are you talking about? I mean, a lot of it falls on him that he's not showing the leadership that you need to be a head coach, especially here in the New York, New Jersey area. So it's a weird division, right? I mean, I think Houston is, you know, Houston and Jacksonville, okay, in the AFC South. The AFC North is going to be a bloodshed wars, but we know that going in. To me, Philadelphia's a clear favorite. In Kansas City, same thing with all these other divisions, San Fran in the West. It's the AFC East that really, you got question marks with Buffalo. Yeah. Are they really going to take a step back? You got question marks with the Jets. Are they really going to take a step up? Dolphins haven't won the division in 10 plus years. Are they really, you know, good enough to win the division with everything is said and done? You know, this is the crazy division to me out of all 8 divisions in the NFL.
Yeah, just 5 cents separating the Buffalo Bills at plus 165 and the Jets at plus 170. A divisional championship means a playoff berth and a home game at least in the opening round. We'll see if the New York Jets can get there at this time. But Scott, when you look at Aaron Rodgers' former team, if you're reading the headlines today, you might have seen a quote from Matt LaFleur that you're wondering, what is he even talking about? I guess the media in Green Bay has asked LaFleur a ton about who the Packers' true number one wide receiver is going to be in 2024 and moving forward. Is it Christian Watson? Is it Dontavian Wicks? Is it Jaden Reed? All of this young wide receiver core. Here's what LaFleur has to say. We'll talk more about the Packers on the other side. Quote, I want to vomit every time I hear number one wide receiver, to be honest with you. It drives me crazy. That's something that you guys talk about. I feel like we've got a bunch of them. Heads up, clean up on aisle Green Bay Packers wide receiver room. If Matt LaFleur is asked another question, we'll talk about it next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Scott, the quote I gave out right before the commercial break, Matt LaFleur not happy about being asked who the number one wide receiver is for this Packers organization in the last few years after Devontae Adams left Green Bay. There are so many young wide receivers for this Green Bay offense that have performed so well early on in their careers that Matt LaFleur just feels like they've got so many people saying, quote, I want to vomit every time I hear number one receiver. He's got some angst there in Green Bay with an offense that does look promising for 2024.
It does, Ben, but, you know, ultimately it's like a baseball team that has a bunch of number two and three starters, and you could win 90, 95, you know, maybe even 100 games, you know, but when you get into the playoffs and you get into a best of five or best of seven series, all of a sudden the opposing team has got your better pitcher and you're the underdog and you don't win that series. You're good enough to get into the postseason. You're good enough to win 90, 95 games, maybe win your division, but you need that ace. That's how I equate it. Go back to Green Bay, San Francisco. Now, it's only one game, but, you know, it's the last game the Packers played. They led 21-14. Last four drives, 0 points. San Fran comes back and wins. You know, maybe if they had a number one wide receiver that could really step up and stand out amongst all the others, that they would have gotten a couple of more first downs and maybe win that football game rather than lose it. So I get the feeling, you know, you want to have three, four guys that you can rely on. That all sounds good, but, you know, come crunch time, come playoff time, you want to have a go-to guy. Someone's got to emerge out of the pack and be, you know, Jordan Love's favorite wide receiver and a guy that he can count on. Otherwise, I think there's success will be limited.
Yeah, and that guy will hopefully emerge this year. There are a lot of options. Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, who in the preseason opener, Jordan Love did play for Green Bay in Cleveland. The Packers, a road victory. Jordan Love was only out there for a very short amount of time, just one possession, but was a perfect 2 of 2 through the air and hit Dontavian Wicks for a 65-yard touchdown less than a minute and a half into the football game against the Browns on Saturday. Of course, Jordan Love alongside Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence, now one of the three highest paid quarterbacks in the National Football League, making $55 million per year. He's hoping that number one emerges as well. Green Bay, a win total of 9.5 in the over, has the hefty juice, expected to be a double digit win team to get to the playoffs as they did a season ago, and of course pulling off the upset over Dallas at the Star. Scott, do you believe that Green Bay will be able to replicate the success of what we saw out of Jordan Love and the Packers' final 8 games of the regular season, and of course that super wild card weekend upset victory over the Cowboys?
I have more faith in now, even though Jordan Love's not a first-year quarterback last year, but, you know, in essence he is, because that's the first year he played. I have more faith in Houston with C.J. Stroud duplicating its success than I do Green Bay with theirs. You know, it was a struggle for Green Bay. Now, give them all the credit in the world that they came on last month of the regular season and in the postseason, you know, winning the game. Realistically, you know, should have beat San Francisco, or at least could have anyway. So I give them credit for that. But I you know, for me, it was Houston basically from start to finish. I like Houston's roster a little bit more. I don't like the fact that you don't have a number one wide receiver. Maybe one of these guys will emerge in that. But if you don't have a number one, it's tough to win on a big time level. You're not going to sneak up on anybody. Same thing with Houston, but I have more faith in the Texans duplicating what they did last year than I do the Green Bay Packers. I could see the Packers coming back to the pack a little bit. Pardon the pun.
Yeah, 9.5 that win total for Green Bay. Again, favored to see the postseason. A lot of the projection for the Packers this year, the reason Jordan Love was paid, that final 8-game stretch where the Packers won 6 of the 8 to earn a playoff berth, and 6 of the 8, Love threw for more than 250 yards, 18 touchdowns to only one INT in that playoff victory where Jordan Love was sensational in Dallas. Success is what Green Bay knows. Scott, they haven't had back-to-back seasons where they've won less than double-digit games since 1992 through 1994. Yes, a playoff berth last year for the Packers, but only 9 wins. Expected to get to 10 wins this year for the Packers, but that's the kind of success they have had now for 3 decades plus, from Favre to Rodgers. I hope it continues with Love.
Yeah, I mean, listen, on paper, it should, right? The guy had a phenomenal year. You would think that he would only get better, you know, this upcoming season. But again, it's just a little different from going the hunter to the huntee, that's all. Let's see him do it again another year.
Yep, we'll see if they can do exactly that. Some injury news, not what you want to share out, but what we have to give you here on Football Full Circle from around training camp. It is part of the preseason process, sadly, getting ready for a new football season. We'll talk about it next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Scott, it's always the downside of training camp and getting ready for a new NFL season. You're going to have some injuries that come out, either in preseason football or just during practice at training camp. Chase Claypool, a new acquisition for the Buffalo Bills, as they are also looking for their number one wide receiver, much like the Green Bay Packers, is not going to really be with Buffalo this year, it seems. He hasn't really been at practice. He did not play in the preseason game on Saturday at home against Chicago, dealing with a toe injury that he suffered in late July. He has been placed now on injured reserve by Buffalo. His stay in Western New York could be short-lived for a guy that really just got here this offseason.
Yeah, boy, why don't you talk about careers that just went off the haywire, right? Such a promising start with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Then he moves to Chicago. Things don't work out there. Picked up by the Dolphins. And, you know, they throw the football all over the place. He has like 4 receptions in 8 games. Doesn't obviously work out there. And now it's not working out here. So it's just like you wonder why things don't work out for particular players. But, he would have been a nice little addition. But it doesn't appear like, you know, they have new rules with this injury reserve. You know, you got to figure out if he's going to be on the roster. If so, then he can play later on. If not, then he might not be able to play. It's all used to be you put on IR, that's it, you're done for the rest of the season. You can't come off. But they kind of quirk that a little bit where you can in some cases. But yeah, you just wonder why, right? I mean, like I said, first few years with Pittsburgh, looked like he was a really good player, a little disgruntled, wasn't getting the ball enough according to him. He moves to the Bears. You think he'd be the number one guy, and he didn't turn out to be. And Miami, like I said, throws the ball all over the place. You thought, okay, now he's really going to excel. Back to his Pittsburgh days and four receptions literally in 8 games with the Dolphins. So that didn't work out, obviously.
Yeah, no, it did not. And Scott, you're so right. Such a promising first year out of Notre Dame with Pittsburgh. Still his career best in now the 5 seasons he has played around the National Football League, and he's been injury-riddled for a lot of that, but 873 yards in that rookie campaign, 9 receiving touchdowns for the Steelers, seemed like a bona fide up-and-coming star at the wide receiver spot. It didn't work out in the Steel City. Not sure it's working out in any other spot for Chase Claypool in his NFL career. Where it did work in his rookie year in Detroit, Jahmyr Gibbs, sensational for the Lions and a key offensive contributor down the stretch and into that playoff run for the Detroit Lions. He came out of practice early yesterday, Scott, with a hamstring injury. Of course, we're not entirely sure the severity, the timeline, any of that, because it is training camp and preseason football. There's not necessarily an injury report, but still not the news you're hoping for out of the Lions.
Yeah, you just wonder, like I said earlier, about these preseason injuries. Are they serious? Are they not serious? And it just goes back to what I've said, you know, and I've waffled on this. I admit, but I like guys to play in regular games, in the preseason games, rather, just because you could get hurt in practice just as much as you get hurt in a game. You know, if you're going to get hurt, to me, you're going to get hurt. So it's unfortunate, but that's the nature of the beast. So you wonder about these guys, especially guys, Ben, that have roster spots locked up. Like, they're not fighting for a roster spot. So they probably take it a little bit more cautious than what they normally would do.
Yeah, and we'll see exactly where it is, Scott, because a hamstring injury is something not really to be trifled with, right? It just takes time, right? Like a calf injury to heal. You stretch it out, you work it out, but it's not like, all right, you sprain your ankle, here's a 1 to 2 week diagnosis. Once the swelling is down, you're back out there. You don't want to aggravate it any further, and there's no real need to for Jahmyr Gibbs entering his second year in the NFL. Again, we've talked about the optimism in the NFC North. There's a lot of projection and expectation, Scott, in that division. decision based on what we saw a year ago, what has happened this offseason, not necessarily these long-standing trends with the current rosters or quarterbacks around the NFC North. The Lions favored to win a division for the second time in 2 years when it took them 30 years to get that NFC North divisional crown last season. The Packers expected to be back in the playoffs in a 10-win team, which is the standard quo, or the status quo perhaps, in Green Bay, but we haven't seen much out of Jordan Love. And of course, the Bears are expected to contend for a playoff spot and have a winning record despite having a rookie quarterback in Caleb Williams. With the investment that Chicago has made on the offensive side of the ball this offseason and a strong ending to the year, winning 5 of their last 7 games, led by that defensive effort. But it's not like, Scott, we can look at Kansas City and say, all right, 3 Super Bowl championships in 5 years, 8 divisional crowns, or at San Francisco in the NFC West. There's a lot of projection and thus leading to expectation around the NFC North, which makes it one of the more compelling divisions in football.
Yeah, I think this year, maybe more so than any other year, it's so wide open. I know people want to point to Kansas City and San Francisco as the two leading favorites, but heard a lot of people think that San Fran's going to come back to the pack a little bit. We haven't had a 3-time Super Bowl champ in a row ever, so you wonder if Kansas City can really pull off that feat, and if that's the case, that opens the door. Will Baltimore kind of squeak in? This year, like I said, more than any other, although I thought last year was wide open because I didn't think Kansas City was going to be nearly as good as they were, but this year, I think we're going to get the year that we were hoping for last year. I think all 4 of those teams in the AFC North can all contend. I like Cincinnati out of the pack. You got Buffalo coming back to the pack. That opens up the door for the Jets and the Dolphins. And I don't think Kansas City is going to be as good, although on paper they apparently are a little bit better. But I still wonder whether a team is going to be able to three-peat or not. So this should be, you know, it's kind of like baseball. Baseball's the same way. I think sports in general, Ben, we're kind of free agency the way it is in all sports and all these players being able to come here and there and the salary cap playing a big role in this, it's hard to keep dynasties intact. So it makes for, you know, a balanced, you know, sports league, and it does in the NFL as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So some good injury news, perhaps. Cooper DeJean, the second round draft pick for Philadelphia, as they tried to bolster their secondary in the NFL draft. Quinyon Mitchell, the stud out of Toledo at the cornerback spot, taken in the first round. And Cooper DeJean, who had a very successful college career at Iowa, has been dealing with his own hamstring injury and was injured late in Iowa's season. He is finally back in practice today, Scott, for the Eagles in full pads for the first time. That's a good sign out of Philadelphia. Speaking of edge rushers and just some more news out there, Hassan Reddick obviously going through the contract negotiation and maybe the standoff with the New York Jets. Matthew Judon for the New England Patriots has not been pleased with his contract situation or deal with the Pats. So teams around the NFL, according to sources to ESPN, have been inquiring about his services. There could be, I guess, if Hassan Reddick is going to be traded, although the Jets publicly rebuffed that idea, there could be 2 pretty solid edge rushers on the market late here in training camp.
Yeah, and the one with Judon, the Patriots, if you read the stories, but that would at least, you know, yeah. With Reddick and the Jets, they're like far apart. Like, they're not contacting each other, talking to each other. The case with Judon, if you see the story, he's getting into fights, literally, yeah. like fist fight with some of the coaches over some of this stuff that's going on. I don't know what promises were made to him, but I'm guessing some promises were made, and now they're not, you know, they're reneging on that a little bit, or maybe there was a misunderstanding, but this thing is getting like real, real nasty up in New England. I don't know if they would ever trade him to another division team, you know, so the Reddick to Judon situation on paper sounds like it makes a whole lot of sense, but I doubt that would really happen. But that's getting really, really ugly, Ben, up in New England with him.
Yeah, it really is. And earlier today, Gerard Mayo says to the media that he told his players, if a starter gets into a fight in a joint practice this week for the Patriots, they will play the whole preseason game week number 2. The Pats in action on Thursday, as they were to start off preseason week number 1. This week, the Patriots taking on the Philadelphia Eagles on Thursday at home in Foxborough. But Gerard Mayo saying that if a starter gets into a fight in joint practice against the Eagles, they'll play the whole preseason game, and if they aren't a starter, they won't play at all. Gerard Mayo, wow. Meaning business there in Foxborough.
Good for him. You know, I mean, it's stupid. It really is. You got guys throwing punches to guys' heads with helmets on. I mean, it's like a fist fight in hockey, right? All you're doing is asking to break your wrist or break your hand. So good for him to do that.
Yeah, it's getting a little bit out of hand, it would seem, in these joint practices. You want to set a tone, you want to have the aggression, but not necessarily over the line. We'll talk a little bit of college football. AP poll reactions next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hi, welcome back. Football Full Circle here on a Tuesday. Scott Wetzel along with Ben Stevens here as we break down some of the NFL stuff that's going on. A little college football as well, as they came out with the AP poll yesterday. And, you know, it's kind of funny, Ben. I did something just to test myself. I do this every single year. Before the AP poll comes out, and then really before I do any research, I write down who I think is going to be in the top 10 in the first AP poll. So I did it again this year, Ben, and without knowing anything, I saved the list, and I got 8 out of the 10. What's the purpose, you may ask? Because it's the same thing over and over. Without knowing a stitch about college football for this year, the only teams I didn't have Ole Miss in there, and there was one other team I didn't have in there, but the bottom, it's the same team. Really, we all look forward to the first poll that comes out and everything else, but with all the extended playoffs, it really doesn't mean anything anymore, but it's the same basic team, same top 10 teams year in, year out.
Yeah, it really is, Scott. And we'll get to some of those trends in just a moment. My apologies for that technical blip on my end, because I was trying to speak as we came out of the commercial break to deliver some breaking news out of Minneapolis. Head coach Kevin O'Connell of the Minnesota Vikings, of course, saying that rookie quarterback J.J. McCarthy, who was injured at the end of the preseason game for the Vikes and was held out of practice early this week, has a torn meniscus and will undergo a procedure. It is not expected to really cause him to miss all that much time, but it is a procedure. As we know, just from following sports injuries, a torn meniscus, not the worst thing to happen. You can return in about 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks, but it does take, Scott, valuable time from McCarthy and this Minnesota offense in the development during training camp and, of course, preseason football. Not good news out of Minnesota for J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings after a promising preseason debut on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, you know, it's not so much like you said that he can't come back, but, you know, when you're a rookie quarterback, you're learning the system and everything, and, you know, this is not even where he could kind of run around, just not throw the football. I mean, that's his knee, which means to me he's got to stay off it, right, I would think. So you might be able to get back healthy enough for the start of the season, but without any reps. I mean, anyone that played, I don't remember, I don't think there were J.J. McCarthy props posted. He was one of the quarterbacks. They listed. So if you had any over or unders or any chance you want to bet the under real quickly right now, I'm looking on FanDuel. I don't see it, but that's disappointing. It was so promising. You know, listen, it's not the end of the world. You know, and hopefully he'll get in there, but we all kind of figured it would be Sam Darnold anyway. That's what O'Connell had said this start, but you know, you never know if JJ played well over the next two games, maybe he would have gotten the start right from the get go. But these quarterbacks and these players are so fragile sometimes. It's amazing. Look good. I didn't see any injury, you know, coming out of the game. This was something that they clearly said afterwards. So yeah, he must have done it somewhere along the line, though, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very unfortunate for J.J. McCarthy, a quarterback, Scott, that had such great success in terms of wins and losses. Only one loss as a starting quarterback at Michigan, and was drafted in the top 10, 10th overall by Minnesota. But everybody wanted to see the game translate to the National Football League. And J.J. McCarthy, who learned from his former skipper at Michigan, Jim Harbaugh, to always believe in himself, was asked after the game. He threw an INT, did McCarthy, on his opening offensive possession. He started or he played six drives for Minnesota on Saturday against the Raiders. He was asked, what was your thought process after the interception? And he said, what a great opportunity. That's J.J. McCarthy's way of saying, now I can bounce back and prove myself even more. And he did just that, finishing, Scott, 11 of 17 overall for 188 yards, two touchdown tosses, and an INT. There was a social media clip of Justin Jefferson watching his young quarterback throw that second long TD pass, and rightfully so, getting very excited at the prospect on the sideline. This is a real bummer for Minnesota and, of course, for J.J. McCarthy to start his National Football League career. Is he going to be available to play even early during the regular season? More than likely. What exactly the timeline of recovery is, that remains to be seen. But I think, Scott, this probably means Sam Darnold is in place to be the starting quarterback for the Vikings week number one.
Yeah. Four-letter network has a story that says the decision will be made at the time of the operation whether McCarthy's meniscus requires a trimming or a complete repair, which will determine how severe the injury is and how long he'll be out. So if it is a complete repair, I'd have to Google that and see how long that would be. But
right.
It's amazing. Yeah, it really is. Sam Darnold gets another chance, right? He's had a chance with the Jets. He's had a chance with the Carolina Panthers. But him and Jacoby Brissett both. Boy, these two guys must have made some deal. I tell you what, because they're mediocre at best, and yet they get opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. So here's a third chance now, realistically, for Sam Darnold to live up to the preseason, the hype of him being drafted, third overall, at 4 or 5 years ago by the Jets. He's got another opportunity. And if he doesn't succeed here, you can make a case, okay, the Jets weren't any good. You can make a case, okay, maybe Carolina isn't any good. But you can't say that about this Vikings offense anyway. Defense, maybe, but off, he's going to have some weapons to deal with him. He can't be successful this year getting a start in 3-4 games, we'll say. Then, people were just wrong about Sam Darnold.
Yeah, he does have a lot of pieces in place. We'll see what suspension is given to Jordan Addison, but Justin Jefferson is happy with his contract situation. They added Aaron Jones this offseason, TJ Hawkinson, a very successful 2023 campaign at the tight end spot for Minnesota as well. You feel for J.J. McCarthy. You hope there are no lingering effects after the surgery is done, whatever it turns out to be. But after a very promising preseason debut on Saturday, it looks as though he will be on the shelf for the next few weeks for the Vikes. Minnesota, a 3.5-point underdog this week against Cleveland in preseason week number two. The Vikings open up the regular season week number one on the road in MetLife against the Giants. And it seems as though Sam Darnold will make his return to New York.
Figures.
Of course, not against the Giants, but will probably play in MetLife that Sunday.
Yeah, and I wonder, Ben, if this influences other teams from playing their players a little bit less this preseason.
Yeah, this is one of those dangers, Scott. There's no doubt about it. This is something that you fear, especially for a young rookie quarterback, but he also needs the game reps at this level. It's that double-edged sword. Back to college football on the other side of the break, live right here on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
The AP Top 25, the preseason poll getting ready for 2024 in college football, released on a Monday afternoon. We brought it to you live here on FFC. You heard my reaction. You heard Joe Lisi's reaction to the polls. Got some more rankings reactions today. And some of the trends that you need to know, at least based on recent AP preseason polls that span beyond the college football playoff era, 10 years of four teams, even back to the BCS days. But I do wonder, Scott, how much those trends will now continue into 2024 when so much has changed. Conference realignment and an expanded college football playoff. Let's start at the very top for one of these recent trends. 18 of the last 20 preseason number one ranked teams have failed to win the national championship. Only 2004 USC and 2017 Alabama. Those are the only exceptions, Scott, to the rule, which means that Georgia, ranked number one in the country before a college football season for the second straight year, could be in danger of falling to the number one preseason curse if that trend continues now with 12 spots available in the college football playoff.
Yeah, I'd like to know who was number one all those years that Alabama won. If it wasn't Alabama, I'm a little surprised at that number, 18 of 20, right? Same thing with Georgia. Georgia didn't win last year. But, I mean, the way Alabama and Georgia have dominated, who were number one all those years? So it is interesting. I mentioned before, you know, I did a a month ago, I wrote down 10 college football teams I figured would be in the top 10 without knowing anything. And lo and behold, I got 8 of them right. You know, you wonder the importance of these polls anymore. I love them, you know. It's good fodder, but ultimately, does it really mean anything? Yeah, and probably not, especially now with the expanded playoffs, it really doesn't mean anything. But it is good to, you know, just to have the list of teams and, you know, all these smaller teams that are ranked for the top 10, top 20 for the first time, little chip on their shoulder, little bit, you know, pop to their back. But ultimately, does it matter if Ohio State or Georgia or Oregon are number one? Yeah, it really doesn't anymore.
Yeah, Scott, what I find so fascinating about this year, right, we had a 10-year history of a four-team format of the college football playoff. Now, the selection committee was not necessarily stringent on their guidelines or their protocol for ranking teams in which the way they did, but you pretty much had an idea of what was important. Prior to that, there was the BCS. There was two teams that would play based on computer rankings in a national championship game. So two spots became four spots that is now tripled to 12. So the idea of 18 of 20 preseason number one teams over the last two decades in college football not ending the year number one as a national champion seems as though it is a longstanding trend. But Georgia, not only the preseason number one team in the country, the preseason national championship favorites as well at plus 280, and maybe even more so, Scott, a way to debunk this trend is the fact that the Bulldogs are minus 600 to get to the college football playoff because of all of the avenues, pathways, and opportunities now available at the highest level of college football. So if Georgia is nearly a $6 favorite, or exactly a $6 favorite with a minus in front to get to the college football playoff, they're going to have a great opportunity to end this trend of having that preseason number one curse.
Yeah, I will say, though, Georgia's schedule is nothing to joke about. Last year, it was a goof, right? But this year, just the opposite. I mean, you look at their schedule, that's a pretty darn good schedule. That it's a gauntlet with Clemson and Texas and Alabama. You know, I'm curious to see how many losses will now get an SEC team in particular. In best case, being Georgia, because we know they're going to be good, regardless of the record, right? Could they survive two losses? Could they survive three losses with that schedule and still get in? So if Georgia gets in this year, I know it's minus 6-1, but I would not be laying minus 6-1 with that schedule. I really wouldn't.
No, it is a very difficult schedule, and Scott, that's a part of the conversation as well. We are going to see multiple teams with multiple losses in the new 12-team era of the college football playoff, as opposed to the 10-year history of the 4-team era, where we did not see a single team with more than two losses or two losses or more reach the CFP. And it could be heavily skewed to the big two of the Power Four conferences, as we saw in these preseason rankings. 8 of the top 10, 4 from the SEC, 4 from the Big Ten, hailing from those two conferences. Only Notre Dame checking in at number 7 in the country, an independent program, and Florida State, the ACC team, rounding out the top 10. The only two schools, Scott, not from the Big Ten or SEC.
I'd be willing to bet Ben Georgia does not get in to the college football play. How about that? We could pick up that tomorrow. But they got the three toughest teams in the SEC on the road this year.
I believe there is a no to that make as well. To miss this CFP is plus 410 for UGA. He's Scott Wetzel. I'm Ben Stevens. Football Full Circle returns tomorrow, noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio.